Surgeon or oncologist or whatever it is Dr. Jill is. She got heckled over the weekend. We've got audio of that. If you haven't, you may have heard it already. She's caretaking for Joe. Imagine just because of her status as a medical doctor and his wife that she has some of the duties that assisted living might oftentimes take care of, like changing clothing and so forth. And I think she was on, let's see, where was she headed? It was to a dairy shop, so she must have been going to get ice cream for Joe. He probably, well, as we heard in the last hour, the coronavirus coordinator for the White House noted that he ate all of his breakfast, so he probably got ice cream as a treat. We are in such good hands. I mean, I'm very confident that the rest of the world, Iranians, North Koreans, Russians, Chinese, Al-Qaeda, are probably really taking pause when they think about the ramifications of doing something that might anger the United States as they see such a powerful leader in the White House currently. There was a time that Democrats boasted that they were the party of the young, strong, that the GOP were just a bunch of old fuddy-duddies. I mean, you look at Nancy Pelosi, you look at Joe Biden, you look at some of the lesser-known, but, you know, like the Leahys and some of these other Democrats that are considered to be power. Even Chuck Schumer, 10 years ago or so, he didn't seem that old, but he just seems more like just old and like out of it. I mean, you can be, age is a number to some degree. Now, of course, we don't have people living to be 150. So at some point, that number does have a pretty equitable result, no matter whom it is applied to. But you can have somebody, you look at Trump, Trump certainly seems young for his age, though I've laughably heard in the context of a rematch between Trump and Biden that clearly Biden is the healthier one of the two. I kid you not. I've heard that argument made. Because Biden exercises. Oh, okay. Now, I don't know one way or another. I don't know their cholesterol levels. I do know that Jill Biden wrote in a book years ago that when Joe had brain surgery, the neurosurgeon told her if he's got a 50-50 shot of living through this. If he does, he's going to have brain damage. That was something she wrote. So in that health capacity, obviously there are limitations there. But just you look at the two, you look at, and I know he's got a few years on Trump, but yeah, just Biden taking naps at, you know, all throughout the day. Sometimes even when he's at meetings, he takes naps. Trump is a guy that sleeps like 4 hours a day. I mean, the world, they've just got to be looking at this and thinking, boy, well, the United States, never have we seen such a, just a physically, mentally, emotionally strong person in the White House as we see with Joe Biden. The Color 10 had, I think it's a laughable piece that I'll share with you after the Joe Biden audio. What the Bible says about abortion may surprise you. This is a tactic the left takes to using more and more. They mock Christians. They do everything they can to drive Christianity out of public discussion. They label the idea of not killing unborn children as a Christian idea, and because of the so-called separation of church and state, that's why it is that we should not ban people from killing other human beings in the context of abortion. But then they try to justify what they're doing with Christianity, whether it's socialism, whether it's abortion. The attempt here is pathetic. But you've got, especially those in the Christian community, have to be aware that you have people on the left that are trying to lie about Christianity in order to justify and rationalize their evil doings. Jason Reimer with the latest news update.
Springfield hit 102 degrees on Sunday. That's the sixth day in a row with a high of 100 degrees or more. It breaks the old record set back in 1980. We won't reach 100 today, but the heat index will make it feel that hot. Some places north and east of Springfield did get some rain overnight. A cold front is expected by Thursday with showers and storms and highs in the lower 90s. AAA says the average price for regular unleaded gas in Springfield is $3.94 a gallon. That's below the statewide average of $4.02. Diesel prices in Springfield are at $5.05, still higher than the statewide average of $5.02. Nationwide, the average price for regular unleaded has plunged to $4.35 a gallon. Springfield police investigating a shooting that happened early Sunday morning near Walnut and Scenic. A woman showed up at the emergency room with a gunshot wound. Her injuries are not life-threatening. The body of a missing swimmer has been recovered in Table Rock Lake. The Highway Patrol says 79-year-old Eugene Nelson from Minnesota began to struggle Saturday night while swimming near the Rest Haven Resort. Divers found his body Sunday morning. I'm Jason Reimer, Springfield's Talk 104.1.
First Alert forecast sponsored by Navant. Employee benefits that work. Hot heat advisory for most of the area through tonight. I have 96 today, heat index of 101, 77 tonight, sunny hot 103 tomorrow. There is a chance today of showers and thunderstorms. Slight, I'm being told. Slight chance. Tomorrow, sunny hot 103. Wednesday, sunny hot, 50% chance of afternoon shower storms. High of 96, partly sunny shower storms likely with a high of 91. Coming up, Joe Biden gets heckled. I don't know what it is about heckling of, let me just say, put it this way. People who heckle Democrats over the past several years have become more clever and funnier. I do believe a lot of this was Trump. Trump allowing people who were constantly told by the Republican Party that now you need to be polite and you need to be statesmanlike and you need to not, yell insults. You're going to make us look bad. And Trump was like, whatever. They treat you like crap. You don't have to take it. You don't have to take this crap. And a lot of it's one of the reasons that it was great for a lot of Republicans. They were drawn towards him. I've always equated it to like you're in the audiovisual club in junior high, or you're a freshman in high school, and you're made fun of. Yeah, got a little group of your friends and everything, and that's just your lot in life. You get poked fun of the way you look, the things that you do. You're always made fun of. And then there's some new kid in school comes, and he's like got the leather jacket, and he's pretty big. He just has an attitude, and he doesn't take guff from anyone. Maybe he's not the toughest guy in the world, but he becomes the toughest guy in the world because he doesn't take guff from anyone. And for whatever reason, he just takes a liking to you and your friends. He doesn't like the snobs and the real popular crew and all that stuff. He doesn't fit in with them, and so so all of a sudden he kind of defends you. Like, what are you taking that for? You don't have to take that. Starts fighting on your behalf. Man, that guy's your best friend in the world. I mean, the relief. Somebody's standing up for me. Somebody's telling me, hey, you don't have to be pushed around. Somebody's telling me that I don't have to be afraid to fight back and that they have my back if I do so. That's the relationship Trump developed with Republican voters who were told you just got to get used to it. You're going to be called racist. You're going to be called homophobic. You're going to be accused of being anti-science. You're going to be accused of hating the poor. You're going to be accused of hating the environment, wanting need to give, you know, kids dirty water while denying them school lunches. And you can't fight back because there's no point really in doing so. You just got to keep marching forward and don't worry. Everything will be just fine. And then the new kid comes along. It's like, you don't have to put up with the crap. It was fantastic. It was great. And lawmakers started doing it as well, particularly female lawmakers on the Republican side. And, of course, the media is aghast. Oh, how dare you bring such a lowering of discourse in politics. No, it's just they're giving it back. And with that, it has come humor. I mean, that Let's Go Brandon thing. There are all these different, and the poking fun at Biden and some of the things that people yell at him. And I'm telling you, Republican voters, or maybe not even Republican voters, but voters that weren't Democrats, once upon a time, pre-Trump era, never would do that stuff. Times are different.
You're listening to Nick Reed in the Morning on Springfield's Talk 104.1.
Joe Biden gets heckled, and her response is such perfect symbolism for the Democrats' relationship with the voters today. Now, somebody's filming this from afar, and so there's a lot of background noise and so forth, but I'll prep you here. Essentially, she's getting out of the Secret Service protected vehicles and so forth, and somebody yells, you'll hear it, "Your husband is the worst president we've ever had," to which she says, "Thank you," and then, "You owe us gas money." Somebody yells, a different bystander, simply, "You suck." So that this is the exchange. Now, she's, you know, her response, "Oh, thank you for your support." And I'm sure she heard them. But, yeah, this is sort of a thing that I suppose you do. But I just, the symbolism is so perfect. Because what is it? The administration and the Democrats currently, for the most part, are, while people are suffering, people are screaming at them that we are not happy, things are not going well. And their response is, everything's just fine. No, the inflation, no big deal. Recession, no, that's not actually a recession. This is the latest. If you missed it earlier this morning, the White House Council of Economic Advisors is now telling us that what we have always known to be a recession, that is two consecutive quarters of negative growth, and that's what's expected to officially be revealed here in the next few days or so, that isn't actually the definition of recession, that, there's a lot of, it's very confusing stuff, and, you know, just don't worry about it, but it's not a recession. So everything's fine. It's a dysfunctional family. The relationship that the Democrat Party and the Biden administration currently has with the voters, it's two different descriptions. One, dysfunctional, and the other is toxic. It's a toxic relationship, and these two things oftentimes dovetail one another. But you've got the voter, which is the rational family member, that's saying, "What are we doing here? This is not right. This is craziness." And then you have the Democrats, which are the family members that are loonies. They're going, "No, everything's just fine. Everything's wonderful. Oh, yeah, no, everything's just fine." The big smile on the face. "Oh, you just think that everything's not okay." And so here you've got Jill Biden, and you have average Americans. Where is this? New York? Connecticut. It's in Connecticut. Yelling, "You suck. yelling, Biden is the worst president we've ever had, yelling, you owe us gas money. And her response is symbolic of the Democrats' response to the American people crying out for relief. And that is, oh, thank you for your support. We're so glad that you're supporting us. Coming up, OzarksFirst.com has a piece. What the Bible says about abortion may surprise you. Oh, yes. See, so for those of you who believe, thou shalt not kill, and you are a Christian, you're actually wrong. Because evidently, the Bible says, no, it's cool to kill. You can kill your own kids. That's perfectly fine. Although, as I read the piece, and I'll share it with you, I did not draw that at all, even with the examples that are given. Like, not at all. Thought, I don't understand how you're connecting this to this, but nonetheless, I thought I'd share, because it is a continued attempt to convince people to gaslight and convince Christians that actually Jesus would want people to kill their unborn babies.
Your voice is needed.
The American people have to pull their heads out of their keisters.
Now more than ever.
And start thinking like responsible Americans.
Springfield's Talk 101. You're listening to Nick Reed in the Morning on Springfield's Talk 104.1.
One of those ads references, we are very close to the primary election, and that is true. It will be, is it next week already? I know everyone's going to be very sad about the ads going away. I don't blame the candidates. I mean, it's what you got to do. You got to run these ads.
I've heard so many people say they can't wait for the election to be over of the ads.
It's what one would refer to as a necessary evil. If they don't do it, then it diminishes the likelihood that they will get elected. We do have sample ballots up at KSGF.com, and someone had ask a question of you because there's a little bit of confusion about the sample ballots, and that is they would see the same name on different ballots. Is that what the confusion stemmed from?
And so hopefully I can word this so it's not confusing over air. So in every county there is multiple districts and reps that are running, but not everyone that is going to be voting within your county is going to live in those districts. So ballots will basically reflect who is running as a whole, and then basically you have to go and find your district. So hopefully that makes sense.
So a lot of it is where you, whomever is going to be on your ballot is because of where you specifically live.
Yes.
So the only way that you can really truly have a sample ballot in which everyone that you see on the sample ballot are only the people that you will be voting for is to have a sample ballot for every single address in the listening area, because you know there are great variations there. So you go, you know, your ballot's going to look to some degree different than a ballot of somebody 30 miles away, but there will be some similarities, like U.S. Senate, for example, or 7th Congressional District. And so there's a decision that has to be made. Okay, where are the defining lines here? And it's by county. So when you go and you look at, if you live in Greene County and you look at the Greene County ballot, everyone that will be on your ballot when you go to vote will be on that Greene County ballot. But not every thing that is on the sample ballot will be on your actual ballot, if that makes sense. I think most people.
And actually, there's a really cool thing on the Secretary of State's website. So you can actually type in your address, and I'll put this link on social media for everybody, but you can basically type in your address, and then it'll show you not only your polling place, but you can click over in like the right-hand corner. It says something like view candidates and issues, and it'll show you specifically what is on your ballot at your polling place. So that can help alleviate that, too.
There you go. Thought we'd throw a little clarification in there. The American Transmissions Talk and Text Line 447-KSGF. I'm Nick Reed.
You're listening to Nick Reed in the Morning on Springfield's Talk 104.1.
I First Alert Forecast, sponsored by St. Clair of the Ozarks Home Improvements. Heat advisory through tonight for most of the listening area. There is a slight chance of showers and storms. Otherwise, a high of 96, heat index of 101, 77 tonight. Tomorrow, sunny, hot, 103. Wednesday, 50% chance of afternoon showers and storms, high of 96. Showers and storms are likely on Thursday with a high of 91. Sarah Myers.
Thank you, thank you. Well, I think that we might have some rain this week, and maybe you are not prepared for it when it comes to your roof. Now, have no fear, because the Pyramid Roofing Company can help you out. Now, the Pyramid Roofing Company, they have been providing top quality roofing in the Show Me State since 1992. They have an A-plus rating through the BBB, and they are veteran supported and veteran operated. So they are a great company to have in your arsenal of companies that you can hire today to help you out with your home. So if you do find yourself needing a whole new roof, or maybe just a roof repair, you can call the Pyramid Roofing Company. They can come out, give you a free estimate, and they can get you on their schedule before all of this rain hits here in the Ozarks. Now, you can find all of their contact information housed at KSGF.com under the Sarah's Endorsements tab.
Color 10 on their site, OzarksFirst.com, had a piece titled, "What the Bible Actually Says About Abortion May Surprise You." And it was written by Melanie A. Howard, Associate Professor of Biblical and Theological Studies, Fresno Pacific University, The Conversation, Nexstar Media Wire. And it reads as follows. In the days since the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, which had established the constitutional right to an abortion, it did not, some Christians have cited the Bible to argue why this decision should either be celebrated or lamented. But here's the problem. The 2,000-year-old text says nothing about abortion. Now, I would stop here and note, yes, it does. Thou shalt not murder. Pretty straightforward. It's like four words. And we know that it is the killing of a life. It's pretty, you know, again, you don't have to be a doctor or any sort of scientist to figure this thing out. Back to the piece. As a university professor of biblical studies, I am familiar with faith-based arguments Christians use to back up views of abortion, whether for or against. Many people seem to assume the Bible discusses the topic head-on, which is not the case. Again, thou shalt not kill. Pretty head-on. Abortions were known and practiced in biblical times, although the methods differed significantly from modern ones. The second century Greek physician Cyranus, for example, recommended fasting, bloodletting, vigorous jumping, and carrying heavy loads as ways to end a pregnancy. Cyranus's treatise on gynecology acknowledged different schools of thought on the topic. Some medical practitioners forbade the use of any abortion methods, others permitted them, but not in cases in which they were intended to cover up an adulterous liaison or simply to preserve the mother's good looks. In other words, the Bible was written in a world in which abortion was practiced and viewed with nuance, yet the Hebrew and Greek equivalents of the word abortion do not appear in either the Old or New Testament of the Bible. That is, the topic simply is not directly mentioned. Again, thou shalt not kill. Pretty direct. Simply because you give that form of killing a different name doesn't mean that it's no longer killing. She continues, the absence of an explicit reference to abortion, however, has not stopped its opponents or proponents from looking to the Bible for support of their position. Abortion opponents turn to several biblical texts that, taken together, seem to suggest that human life has value before birth. For example, the Bible opens by describing the creation of humans in the image of God, a way to explain the value of human life, presumably even before people are born. Likewise, the Bible describes several important figures, including the prophets Jeremiah and Isaiah, Apostle Paul, as having been called to their sacred task since their time in the womb. Psalm 139 asserts that God, quote, knit me together in my mother's womb. However, abortion opponents are not the only ones who can appeal to the Bible for support. supporters can point to other biblical texts that would seem to count as evidence in their favor. Exodus 21, for example, suggests that a pregnant woman's life is more valuable than the fetus's. This text describes a scenario in which men who are fighting strike a pregnant woman and cause her to miscarry. A monetary fine is imposed if the woman suffers no other harm beyond the miscarriage. However, if the woman suffers additional harm, the perpetrator's punishment is to suffer reciprocal harm up to life for life. Now, let's look at this. This happened to be something that was part of the law in terms of crime and punishment at the time. Now, that doesn't mean it's a message from God. It doesn't mean that that is a teaching of Christ. And in fact, even that argument shows that clearly there is a value to that life. Because although they, what they're trying to say here is, well, killing the unborn baby was only a monetary fine, whereas killing the actual mother would result in punishment of death. Therefore, that must mean abortion's okay. That doesn't say that at all. In fact, that's an argument against it. She goes on to say there are other biblical texts that seem to celebrate the choices that women made for their bodies, even in contexts in which such choices would have been socially shunned. The fifth chapter of the Gospel of Mark, for example, describes a woman with a gynecological ailment that has made her bleed continuously, taking a great risk. She reaches out to touch Jesus' cloak in hopes that it will heal her, even though the touch of a menstruating woman was believed to cause ritual contamination. However, Jesus commends her choice and praises her faith. What the hell does that have to do with abortion? That's not even a stretch. That's whatever's beyond a stretch. So, what we're being told here is that a biblical argument for abortion is the fact that a sick woman touched Jesus because she wanted to be healed. Another example she notes, in the Gospel of John, Jesus' follower Mary seemingly wastes resources by pouring an entire container of costly ointment on his feet and using her own hair to wipe them. But he defends her decision to break the social taboo around touching an unrelated man so intimately. Again, this has nothing to do with abortion. Now, I suppose what the argument here is saying is that she did something that was considered a taboo, and it's also a taboo to have an abortion, therefore the Bible supports abortion. It's also a taboo to have sex with your own daughter. Are we claiming that because taboos were noted in the Bible, that means having sex with your own daughter is okay and supported by Jesus? This is the most patently absurd argument that I've ever... Now, I'll at least give credit in the sense that this individual, which, I mean, here's what's sad. This is an associate professor of biblical and theological studies at Fresno Pacific University. So there are people seemingly sending their children to a university hoping that they get, at least in this context, some sort of intelligent knowledge regarding the Bible, and this is somebody who is teaching them? Now, the credit I'll give her is the fact that she does lay out biblical, or she cites the Bible in the context of pro-life, and so she is giving both sides. The problem is, one side is pretty directly related to the issue of life in the womb, while the other one has absolutely nothing to do with it at all. Nothing. Finally, she notes, in response to the Supreme Court decision, Christians on both sides of the partisan divide have appealed to any number of texts to assert that their particular brand of politics is biblically backed. However, if they claim the Bible specifically condemns or approve of abortion, they are skewing the textual evidence to fit their position. Again, it's pretty straightforward, thou shalt not kill. Simply because you want to call killing a choice or call it the word abortion doesn't mean that it's not killing. as is usually the case with those on the left, they just change words to fit their convenient definitions. She notes, Christians can develop their own faith-based arguments about modern political issues, whether or not the Bible speaks directly to them, but it's important to recognize that although the Bible was written at a time when abortion was practiced, it never directly addressed the issue. And again, not to beat the dead horse, but thou shalt not kill kind of, sort of, directly addresses it. It is embarrassing. We have individuals in this country that have positions in which they are being paid to teach young people things in areas in which they clearly can't demonstrate even the slightest bit of intellect. And to somehow claim that Mary washing Jesus' feet with her hair is the equivalent to a woman getting an abortion and supports biblically the issue of abortion, it's an embarrassment to humanity. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed.
You're listening to Nick Reed in the Morning on Springfield's Talk 104.1.
All our building company, brand new homes. No worry about remodeling. Start from scratch. Blank canvas. In the process, I mentioned over the last couple of months, building a brand new, much larger, more accommodating showroom floor, and they're progressing on that quite nicely. They do have a temporary one set up, and this is where you start from scratch in terms of the look and feel of your home, what makes a house a home. And instead of, you know, coming into something that is someone else's interpretation of a home, and then you decide, well, we're going to change this, we'll probably do this over here, change these things over here. You get to start from the absolute beginning with Aller Building Company. You can find them under Nick's endorsements, ksgf.com. If you needed any further evidence of what a joke the Associated Press is and how it is just a left-wing advocacy organization, here you go. The Associated Press style book. This has served. This is a writing guide for news organizations. News organizations, for whatever reason, just decide that news ultimately is defined by the Associated Press, and so they look to the Associated Press for direction, regardless of how many times they've been proven to be wrong, regardless of how many times they have delegitimized themselves, printing up stories that turned out to be fake. It's still sort of the goat, and it's a level of protection also. You know, they can always say, well, it's what the Associated Press said to do, so womp womp. According to the Transgender Coverage Topical Guide, sex is not a physical reality observed at birth. This is the Associated Press's style book. Rather, it's someone just comes up with the idea, and they then challenge the baby to meet it for life. They note a person's sex and gender are usually assigned at birth by parents or attendants and can turn out to be inaccurate. Now, of course, it isn't something that's assigned any more than a baby is assigned 10 fingers and 10 toes. It isn't assigned gender any more than it is assigned a heartbeat or a head. It is recognized because it is. But again, just change the definition. What does a sign mean? The Associated Press insist in their manual that gender isn't limited to men and women. This, of course, is correct. Gender is a recent invention of man, hence cake gender and bird gender. Should everyone subscribe to gender's all-new notions? According to the Associated Press, yes. Experts say gender is a spectrum, not a binary structure consisting of only men and women that can vary among societies and can change over time. The National Review notes that the Associated Press's guide encourages writers to refer to subjects according to their preferred gender ideology. The guide condemns deadnaming or referring to a transgender person's previous name because that, quote, can be akin to using a slur and can cause feelings of gender dysphoria to resurface. So, in other words, according to the Associated Press, if you refer to Caitlyn Jenner in the past as being an Olympic athlete named Bruce Jenner, then you are no different than someone who uses the N-word. That is the mentality of the Associated Press. The Associated Press also notes that if a male identifies as a female, that makes that person a woman, explaining that the word identity can be useful, but alternate phrasing like is a woman is more to the point than identifies as a woman. So in other words, they are now wanting to shift. They're totally eliminating the uniqueness of woman. And they are encouraging those who follow them that if a man identifies as a woman, they not be referred to as a transgender woman. We're supposed to do away with that. Or identifies as a woman because that man is just as much a woman as an actual woman is. And saying otherwise is akin to using the N-word. The Associated Press advising writers to, quote, avoid terms like biological male, which opponents of transgender rights sometimes use to oversimplify sex and gender, is often misleading shorthand for assigned male at birth and is redundant because sex is inherently biological. As for drugs and surgery aimed at physically affixing someone closer to their preferred presentation, the style book calls such gender-affirming care and gender confirmation procedures, and that's something that we've heard occur over time. Instead of sex change operation, it is simply labeled as affirming what we already know. Do males have an athletic advantage over females? Transgender athlete backers argue, among other things, that individuals are different, that sweeping restrictions overblown the prevalence of the issue, and that it's not possible to know with certainty what gives a particular athlete, transgender or cisgender, a competitive edge, according to the Associated Press. So in other words, women, you are nothing. Anyone can be you. And we're no longer even supposed to identify those, according to the Associated Press, as those who identify as woman because they are you. In other words, woman is just a label. Nothing more, nothing less.
You're listening to Nick Reed in the Morning on Springfield's Talk 104.1.
When you have these political ads, oftentimes things are cherry-picked. You have this massive piece of legislation, which is overwhelmingly horrible, but there'll be something in there that is considered to be more positive, and because you'll have a lawmaker vote against the monstrosity, cherry-picked the good thing, the opponent will, and then say, well, they voted against hugging babies. And that's to be expected. I do think that there is something that I just find to be laughable. Given context, and one of the ads that we hear, and it was just plain, I didn't know whether it's a candidate ad or it's a political action committee, but labeling Mike Moon and Eric Burleson as liberal, supporting liberals. Like, if you were to pick the two anti-liberals, and what's so funny is we hear about, what are those on the left? Who's some of the worst people in the world? Ted Cruz, right? Just awful. Right-wing nut job. He was actually in Springfield campaigning on behalf of Eric Burleson. Now, he was in Missouri because he's supporting Eric Schmidt as well for the U.S. Senate. But one of the stops he made was in Springfield, and I wasn't in attendance. But according to reports, hundreds of people showed up. It was wildly successful. And Ted Cruz, of course, is known as being very conservative, so much so he's criticized for it. He's ridiculed for it. Yet we're supposed to believe at the same time that he came to Missouri to try and convince voters that the right person to get the nomination for the 7th Congressional District is one of the most liberal members of the Missouri Senate. Now, you don't even have to know anything about voting records to recognize how absurd that is. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. Oh, anyway. Straw poll, Donald Trump, undisputed favorite in 2024 GOP primary. This giving him a nearly 60-point lead over his closest competitor, according to a Trafalgar straw poll conducted at the Turning Point USA Student Action Summit. The straw poll, first obtained by Fox News, asked attendees for whom they would vote if Trump and six other candidates were in contention for the Republican nomination in 2024. Trump garnered an astonishing 78.7% of respondents, followed by DeSantis, 19% said they would support. Kristi Noem, Republican governor of South Dakota, was the third most popular. And then you had Pompeo, Cruz, Nikki Haley, former Vice President Mike Pence, all polled under 1%. What is astounding to me is the continued disconnect between the Republican establishment and what the voters are screaming they want. And we have gone back to where, you know, some of these Republicans refuse to get it. Where you have the Mitt Romneys, you have the Asa Hutchinsons of Arkansas, and these others saying, no, Republicans need to move past Trump. I don't think there has universally been any one person, Reagan running for re-election would probably be the exception, in which it was an absolute no-brainer what the voters wanted. And so the decision's going to be made. Who controls the party? Is it the Republican voters? Is it a party of the people, or is it a party of the establishment, of the Hutchinsons and the Romneys? Because if it's a party of the people, they've more than overwhelmingly, over and over and over again, answered the question, whether it's the right path or not, that's what Republican voters are screaming that they want, and that is Donald Trump to be the nominee. News in 60 seconds. I'm Nick Reed.